upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, my friends, to another edition, episode number 74 of Cabali and Mac. We're just 16 days away from report date for Steelers training camp at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. So a good morning to our friends, Yinzers and countrymen, and wonderful Yinzers wherever you may be in the world, Western PA and otherwise. Follow us on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the social medias, at Cabali and Mac. And of course, you want to be a subscriber on YouTube. We're up over 1,900 now, but the first 2,500, so you better get in quick. We'll have an opportunity to win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball that we've been sitting on for a couple of weeks, trying to give away to somebody. We got plenty to talk about. Thanks to our friends at Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com, for presenting Cabali and Mac. We appreciate everybody over there. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Kia, all trying to find you the perfect home, whether you're upgrading to a bigger house, downgrading to a smaller house, whatever you're doing, the home of your dreams is waiting with the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate their support of Cabali and Mac. So, kaboom, right before we came on the stream, you were talking about how much you love a truck stop. Bucky's. You love Bucky's, the truck stop. Really?
I've never been there.
Wait, so you're telling me that when I go out to Ohio later this week, yeah, I should make it a point to drive a little further south and go find myself a Bucky's, as you put it, for the experience.
Yes, for the experience. Well, I think experience. They're open.
It's a truck stop.
Oh, no. What? It's not open yet.
What?
Bucky's is slated to open its first ever Ohio location in Huber Heights.
Where the hell is that?
Huber Heights, Cincinnati, somewhere.
Great job narrowing it down. Where is that in relation to Columbus?
Well, Columbus to Cincinnati is probably like...
Oh, it's near Dayton. I'm not driving an hour and a half past Columbus just to go to a truck stop.
Well, it's not even open yet anyway, so...
Okay, so never mind. You'll have to wait for your trip to Cincy later this fall.
Man, I thought it was... It's not going to open until the spring of 2026.
No, you won't. So you won't even get it this... Man. Does a Bucky's take that long to get up off the ground? Yeah, I didn't realize.
Yes, I guess there's a lot of red tape.
How do you know about this?
How do I know about Bucky's? Everybody
knows that they're opening one in Ohio. And why do you care?
Because it's Bucky's, first of all. It's an experience. You just need to go to one.
Okay.
I've never been to one, but I wanted to go to one. I'm trying to find the one that's closest to us. Bunch in Texas. I haven't been to Texas in a long time, so there goes that.
No. Where are you headed to this year? Let's pull up the schedule here. They don't have any in New England. They don't have any in Jersey.
And there must be about 100 of them in Texas.
Any in Illinois when you head out to Chicago in November?
Kentucky, Warner Robins, Georgia.
No, you're not going to get to one this year. I'm sorry, bud.
Brunswick, Georgia.
Unless you make a special trip, you will not be going to a Bucky's. Are you going to be okay with that?
There's none in Ireland.
No, they don't have Bucky's in Dublin.
No. Oh, that's Johnstown, Colorado. Daytona, St. Augustine. Yeah, so much for that.
Yeah, not happening anytime soon. Big news from the Steelers, and we'll get into things that were said about TJ Watt late last week. Some more talk about where and how Jalen Ramsey is going to play in the Steelers secondary. maybe they're still interested, according to one person, in one of those wide receivers that's out on the market. We'll get to all of it today. Thanks for joining us. But the big news, job security for Omar Khan, a 3-year contract extension. You kind of alluded to this when we were talking about the Jalen Ramsey, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Jonnu Smith trade. The only way, I shouldn't say the only way, a lot of people immediately looked at it and said, well, they must feel the heat. They must feel the pressure. Omar, especially if he's making deals like this all offseason, he must know if he doesn't win a playoff game this year, he's hot. Mm-hmm. Well, instead, it's the exact opposite. And you laid it out as such when we were talking about the Ramsey deal last week. No, these are the moves of some people who are very secure in their positions because they know they can take some big Aaron Judge size swings. And if they miss, it's all right. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's warranted too. I mean, you don't want to make any change. I mean, Omar has not done anything egregious to the fact that he should lose his job after 3 years. The last thing you want to do is totally rebuild, because once you get rid of the general manager, there goes the scouting staff and so on and so forth right there. Then you're right back to square one trying to put this organization together again. So, I mean, it was just – it made a lot of sense, and I think he has done as well as he possibly could have over these past couple of years when he's been put into a pretty difficult situation. You think about it. Situation that wasn't maybe the best of building a team. He was saddled with a quarterback that was might have been reached on, you know, a little bit. They haven't won in a while, and he had to, you know, with Omar, he didn't only rebuild the roster. And of course, when I say he did, it's a collective group, but everything he did behind the scenes of running the organization behind Art Rooney, then that murky middle where Art. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not dealing with this, and Art's like, and Mike Tomlin's like, this has nothing to do with me. That's all Omar stuff right there. And I'm talking about hotel stays to scouting department, the hires to different positions created. So it's more than just like presenting a trade to get Brandon Ayuk. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's done a pretty good job.
I think he has too. I think as much as he was a part of the staff under Kevin Colbert and worked very closely with the higher ups and what was being done to compose the roster then, he still wasn't the GM. So he wasn't calling those shots. There was a lot of number pushing and things like that to help make certain things work that the GM wanted to do. And this extension will get him kind of through the transition period, because as much as we don't like to talk about 4 and 5 year plans, I do think it takes probably 3, 4, 5 years to work your way out of a previous administration, for lack of a better way to put it, and into the way you want to do things. And Omar quite clearly does things very differently than Kevin did, especially in regard to, hey, if this isn't working, we're going to try to fix it by making this trade. Stuff that Kevin never would have done. I think a lot of people looked at the addition of Andy Weidel a couple years ago and said, oh, this is what the Steelers do. They bring in a whatever in waiting to put some pressure on the guy who's currently in that position. Think of what they did with Canada and Fichtner and other positions over the years. Instead, I do really think that was, hey, Andy knows how to build out the trenches. Yeah. Let's bring him in to help us. And so, yeah, I guess if you were really out against Omar Khan and you didn't want to affect some great sort of massive change, you could push Omar to the side and put Andy Weidel in there, but that's clearly not what they're thinking. Again, it's about having the guy leading the charge, in this case, Omar, it used to be Kevin, and then the guy who's right there leading the scouting department, helping with other things, which in this case, you know, it used to be Omar, now it's Andy.
Yeah, I mean, what has been the criticism of Mike Tomlin over the years? I don't know, rightfully so or not, is he didn't want to bring in anybody in the coaching staff that may push him, may take right. his job, may feel that he's, not in charge.
On so the much, hot seat, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the total opposite. Like we were saying the other day, is the first thing that Omar wanted was, I want this guy. And if you're insecure in your position, you don't bring in your replacement and say, I want him to be my right-hand man, right? You bring in somebody of a lesser stature. I mean, Omar's been with the team 20 whatever years.
Yeah.
And if there's anything about the Rooneys that we should know is they're pretty loyal to the majority of the people. So I think Omar realized that as well. So, I mean, does Andy White get any sniffs? I don't know. He might. But he's still a – I mean, there's not too many – it's hard to say because the guy in Jacksonville, what was he, 15, and he just got hired? I was going to say, you usually want a guy that's been in a job or had some experience in the head GM department making all the moves before you actually go and give him that opportunity. So I don't know if Andy White was on that fast track to being a GM quite yet.
I don't know why you got to make fun of James. Don't call me Joey Gladstone, who's 34 years old down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he maybe he looks 34. I mean, he doesn't look 34.
Cut it out.
Yeah.
Full House reference for the 80s kids in the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Omar's not going anywhere. We know Mike's not going anywhere until he decides he's done, which could be 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. He's not going anywhere. So the leadership's going to stay in place. And if you like what they've done this offseason, I think you'd be happy about it. If you like what they've done the last couple of offseasons, where, like I said, they've been quick to rip the Band-Aid off and try and fix things if they weren't going well, then I think you got to be okay with that. I don't have any huge problems with what Omar has done leading things over the last few years.
You can't. I mean, a lot of it's going to be tied to now. I mean, next year's a big year. I mean, let's not sugarcoat this at all. I mean, there's a reason why you trade for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith and give up a 2027 draft pick.
Right.
2026. He wants to hold on to those 2026 because he wants to find a cure to your pack. And it's all going to be, that's how he's going to be judged. And that's how he can keep his job, lose his job, whatever. I mean, if you're looking 3-4 years from now and you pick a quarterback in 2026, then you still have 2 or 3 years to be able to develop him.
Right.
Maybe it's a different story after that. Maybe if it's a total failure. But that's the next thing on the list right now. Oh, wow. The next thing's on the list is a playoff win and run into the Super Bowl. But after that, they need to find their quarterback. And like I've said, man, it's not an easy thing to win now and plan for the future all at the same time.
They're pretty effectively doing it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, at least on paper, right?
Yeah. I mean, you load up on draft picks. You get the trenches done first, which they've done for the most part, right? And then you load up on draft picks, and as guys age out, they're being replaced by the guys that you loaded up on in the draft. Like you said, they've got to hit in the 2026 draft, not just because it's here, but because they've got so many picks and so many opportunities, and they got to find a QB.
This had to be somewhat of a plan, but it can't have been, you know, bullet points. This is what we're going to do because – Russell Wilson was on that list. I don't think Aaron Rodgers was on that list. DK Metcalf wasn't on that list.
No, that's why I like Omar and the way he's approached the job so much, though, because he hasn't said, here's the plan. Step one, step two, step draft, develop, supplement, and free agents. No, he said, okay, we're going to draft guys that we like. If some of those guys don't end up working out, we're going to go out and get somebody else. You know, like a Kevin Colbert, I don't think, or a Kevin Colbert-like GM, or past Steelers-like GMs, they don't make the George Pickens trade. They don't. They probably don't make the DK Metcalf trade. Like, that's the kind of stuff when you identify that something's not working, you try to fix it as quickly as possible. Last year, prior GMs probably don't make the Kenny Pickett trade. They probably, you know, they just don't. So it's a different philosophy, and we'll see how it works out. I mean, this is why you give a guy, like I said, 4 or 5 years in the GM role to try and build things out, unless he's an abject failure. And Omar has been far from an abject failure. He's been very aggressive, and they'll let him get it out, like you said, through probably at least 2028, because they'll draft somebody in 26. Yeah. Person probably won't play next year, at least you would hope, as a rookie quarterback. They don't play right away. And then you'll see how they develop in 27 and 28. That's got to be the plan now.
Yeah, I don't even know if that would hinder him getting an extension even from then, you know. I mean, he's only, what, 40, 45, 47, 48. He's not that old. So even if it takes more than that, I can see him being one of those long-term guys. There hasn't been a minute. How many GMs have there been? Colbert was here for 20. Before that, it was who?
Donahoe.
Dick Haley or something, too. I mean, I think they're in good hands with him. I think they are in good hands because, like you said, he's not afraid to make deals and join the 21st century. Not only join in the 21st century, he might be almost up there with the leading the way, man. If this is how, you know, I'm doing it, this is how other teams might want to look and see what we're doing. Sure, he grabbed stuff from Andy and grabbed stuff from the Eagles, but I can guarantee the Eagles didn't supplement their roster how they have through the draft. And another thing is they hold on. You mentioned George Pickens. That wouldn't have happened. You know, if it was a fourth-round pick, it wasn't going to happen. He waited, third-round pick. Okay, we'll do third-round pick.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that might have cost him in the end with the Ayuk thing, being a little bit stubborn on that one maybe. But he's not going to get ripped off.
But would you rather have
seemed like?
Would you rather have had him? Well, look, they were ready to do the deal, so I can't pretend like they weren't ready to pull the trigger on it. But would you have rather given up what they were ready to give up for Ayuk and have him now instead of DK Metcalf and what they gave up to get Metcalf?
Ayuk got a bum knee, so no.
Right. So I mean, in the end, the con artist ends up getting it done. He gets a 3-year extension. Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show as well. SouthwestGreensPA.com. I saw our buddy Phil. Pictures from his backyard over 4th of July weekend. He's got that beautiful Southwest green surface in the backyard. It looks great. Best looking yard in the neighborhood. And he's not watering it all the time. He's not spraying fertilizer on it. He's not weed whacking and mowing and all that. You want to have the best looking lawn in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. You're able to use it year round if you want to. Great for the kids. They could go out and play whenever they want. Great for the pets even. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Tell Jake the Kabali and Mac sent you, and they will get it done for you. They'll come out and tell you exactly what they can do for you and your yard with a beautiful artificial surface that you won't have to spend all that time and money maintaining.
I saw Jake yesterday. He beeped the horn, and I went,
yeah. Jake, he's a busy man, probably running around on 4th of July even. 4th of July weekend getting things done. All right, so this is the next big piece of news. Our friend, fellow Steelers reporter, Aditi Kinkabwala, she goes on 93.7 The Fan with the guys Pony
Muller. National reporter.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. And she was asked about the whole TJ Watt contract negotiation thing, and I'll just read exactly what she said. Here's what the disconnect is. This is what happened the last time around in these negotiations. TJ Watt was openly told, "You're fortunate to be a Steeler." And his response was, "Well, you're fortunate to have me." The Steelers' attitude, the Steelers' mindset, you see this from a lot of fans too, Aditi said, is that it's such a privilege to be in this uniform, to wear this helmet, that therefore you should take a hometown discount just because you get to play for one of these cornerstone trademark organizations. So, is this
how? First of all, I want to know how much of that is true, or is part of that's her opinion, right?
Telling you what Aditi said. Aditi's been around the team for a long time, right? And I'm sure she's got sources who she trusts who give her this information, just like anybody else who reports on the Steelers and the NFL at large. So somebody's telling her this, and somebody felt like the conversation last time between TJ and the Steelers got a little contentious. Now, look, all's well that ends well. If this thing ends up with the contract getting done on September 6th and he's out there week one, nobody's going to care about all this back and forth and all this nonsense about, are they going to trade TJ Watt, which they're not. I don't know how many people this weekend at a 4th of July party I had to tell, no, they're not trading TJ Watt. It's not going to happen. But, you know, there is some back and forth here where, I don't know, the player feels he has a certain value to the organization. The organization feels like they have a certain value that they provide the player as well.
Only thing I know, since that she said that on The Fan, somebody reached out to me and told me that was absolutely true.
Okay.
Now, the true part was, you know, you should be fortunate to be the Steelers, but I just don't know what context that was put in. Maybe it was, hey, we're going to get this done before the season. You don't have to wait till October. You're fortunate to become a Steeler. You're fortunate because of Steeler because we're doing this like this.
Right.
You know, some teams might not be willing to pay an edge linebacker this money. You're fortunate enough to be a Steeler. I don't know what the context was, or it could have been what everybody's assuming it was. Hey, man, you're just fortunate to be here, so you should take your money and shut up. I don't know which one it is. I don't think anybody does. I think there's – I think whatever she said, I'm just totally – spitballing. I don't know what she said other than, you know, the part of it that was said is I think she might have been her opinion, the second part of that, of you should be fortunate to play here because you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you should take a discount or whatever it was said. I don't know if that's the case or not. For as for that to happen, he sure the heck signed quite quickly, and he's sure the heck's the one that said go get the deal done as well. If you were such a so put off by it, you wouldn't have done that. So I don't know.
I just think with nothing
else.
I
just don't know the context.
Right. I also think that with nothing else going on in the football world for the next 3 weeks, well, 2.5 weeks, this is exactly what we're going to get. Just rampant speculation. Why haven't the Steelers extended TJ Watt? As I've said now more than a handful of times, maybe TJ just doesn't want to sign it right now. Yep. Like you've said, there's a substantial offer on the table. Maybe he just doesn't want to sign right now for a couple of different reasons. One, nobody's excited to go through training camp practices, especially when you're a veteran, an established veteran like TJ Watt. And that's not to say that even if he did sign and come in, they're going to make him go 110% at every training camp practice. I'm sure they'd give him plenty of time off. But if you got an opportunity to avoid some of that, sure, by all means, you avoid some of that. Maybe he'll still report on time and do the hold in thing. We don't know yet. But also, as I've mentioned multiple times, there's still one big contract extension that needs to get done around the league on that side of the ball before the beginning of the regular season, and that's Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys. And we know how the Cowboys do business, and there's a chance they massively overpay Micah. And I get he's younger, and I get he plays a very different way. But if Micah goes out and gets $45-46 million a year from the Cowboys and a certain amount guaranteed and 2 years guaranteed, it's a whole lot easier for TJ and his agent to go back to the Steelers and say, guys, come on, Micah Parsons just got this. We understand I'm a little bit older and I'm a pure edge rusher and he's a guy that moves all over the formation and all over the defense. But come on, if Micah Parsons got that, you got a defensive player of the year right here. Pay me what that guy's getting.
I mean, like I said, it shouldn't be that difficult. It should not be difficult. It should be, look what Myles Garrett got. I don't care if the Browns overpaid him. Mm-hmm. The Browns overpaid him. So what? That's their
the market. That's everybody's fault. Yeah.
Now that's where the market is now. So, oh well, right? So if he's basically every number's very similar, if not TJ's a little bit more, you give him a tad bit more. So I don't see why the total number is an issue. I mean, I think there's other things. Obviously, I think the guaranteed money, the length of the deal, something like that could be holding it up. But it shouldn't be this difficult. If you're sitting here a quabble and quibble and over $2 million. What are we doing here? It's like Scotty Miller's salary here.
Yeah, that's which is exactly why, like you said, it probably doesn't have anything to do with the yearly value or the total number. It's more about guarantees and
Unless they said here's $34 million in 1 year guarantee, be like, huh? What?
Well, yeah, that's completely different. Like they've got to get to the 40 number. They've got to do at least that.
It shouldn't be that difficult. It shouldn't be. It should not be this difficult. Unless TJ does. I mean, I think all the power is in TJ's side of the field now. It's his court, man. They're on defense right now. He can do whatever he wants. Now, that quickly changes come September. But right now, he got the power, man. He doesn't need to do anything. He can go to camp if he wants to and work out on the side like he wants to. Nobody would say a different thing. He wouldn't talk. Tomlin wouldn't talk about it. And they would sign. But once you get to September, all of a sudden, the Pittsburgh Steelers got the upper hand in this one, because do you really want to go through a season where you're playing as a lame duck guy without a contract and a potential pay cut if you're going to franchise him next year?
Right. So, I mean, it's going to get done. If it gets done at 12:59 p.m. on September 7th, so be it. It gets done.
Do you think he might be sore that they thrown money at Ramsey, throwing money at Metcalf, going after Aaron Rodgers? Meanwhile, Mr. Pittsburgh Steeler Black and Gold sitting here, and they're like, we'll get to you when we get to you. You think that could be a play? You think he's a little sore over this?
If I were in his shoes, I'll just say this. I wouldn't be. I'd be looking at them improving the team around me, and I'd be kind of excited for that. I'd still be annoyed that my contract isn't done, my contract extension, but I'd be able to see that, hey, you know, front offices do more than one thing at a time all the time, and they got to have a quarterback, and they got to have a number one wide receiver, and they went out and fortified the secondary that plays behind me to maybe give me a little more time to get to the quarterback. I think that, especially after going through it a few years ago, I think TJ understand, or at least should understand exactly how this works, man. And if he's really getting any kind of butt hurt over all those additions and everything else that has happened this offseason, I mean, this isn't going to work. Like, I think in the end, they'll both end up shaking hands. He'll get a certain number that he can live with. They'll give him a certain number that they can live with. And none of this other crap that we've spent the last few weeks or month or so talking about will matter.
I mean, he wants to win. And they put a defense around him that is better than last year.
Yeah.
So why? What has changed now? I mean, you, like I said, if you get the number close to Myles Garrett, and like I keep saying, a dollar over it, then I don't know what type of issue he would have, because their defense on paper is better. Their offense on paper is better. You want to win. You don't want to be known as that guy that has never won a playoff game in your career. So, I mean, that's what he said it in January when he had the exit meetings, or whatever you call it, clean out the lockers, even though they don't clean out the lockers. He wants to win. They gave him a chance to win. Now your job is to come in and help him win. But that number has to be at a certain number. So I agree. I can just, if the Steelers don't, they haven't lowballed him. And I don't know what lowball means. It could be just $1 million off. Or if he doesn't want a crazy amount of money, I don't know why it's taking so long, unless TJ just says, we'll just hold off.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. I wouldn't blame him at all if that's what he's doing. And then everybody sits here and hammers the Steelers over it over and over and over again. Why is it not done? Why is it not done? Why is it not done? When in reality, it might be the ball might be on TJ's side of the court, and he's just waiting to finally say, yep, okay, let's get it done. Maybe as early as next Wednesday. Maybe as early as, you know, the first preseason game on August 9th. Maybe he does want to wait until August 22nd after the final preseason game. Okay, we'll get it done. I'll come in for those couple of weeks of practice right before the regular season opener. But I wouldn't blame him for that at all. Yeah, so
I think he needs to show up, though. He needs to be there July 23rd. I don't think
hold in instead of hold out.
Yeah, I mean, that it takes a different turn if you don't show up. Who was the last person that held out? Mike Wallace? Maybe.
Yeah, probably. It's been a while.
It's just a thing that doesn't happen very much anymore with this new hold-in thing that they do now. You know,
that'll be the first sign to me that maybe talk is got a little more truth to it. And I'm not saying anybody's telling lies, but that maybe there's a little more to it. It's a little more sticky between the two sides than I'm led to believe right now. If he doesn't show for camp on the 23rd, then we'll know, okay, this really is fairly contested. Yeah. But I still wouldn't worry about him coming in at some point and having a productive season once it finally gets done.
Yeah, I think it's all of a sudden your court of public opinion turns on you. You won't have too many people in your corner if you don't show up to even just show up.
That's a good point. It will definitely
not care, but
no, some people will say, hey, I get it. He's holding out for more money. I would do the same thing if I could do it at my job. But a lot of people will say, come on, you can show up and do some stuff on the side. You're
going to be working out in Wisconsin anyways at your brother's gym or barn or whatever. So just do it here.
Yeah, you're right. Public opinion will do a quick 180 if that's the way it plays out.
Well, I mean, I'm still surprised that not a majority, but a good chunk of people wanted to get rid of him in the first place. They think you just get rid of him and all of a sudden you're going to get like 17 picks and $100 million that you can pick 5 Pro Bowlers with. I'm like, it just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. And what's funny to me is that you have people who will sit there and tell you that, who will argue till they are red in the face that he is clearly better than Myles Garrett. And I'm not saying he isn't. I think he is. But people who will sit there and argue until they're purple in the face, he's better than Myles Garrett. And then will, in this very same breath, tell you why the Steelers should trade him or not pay him as much as Garrett or whatever. And it's like, wait, you can't keep. And then we'll sit there and also ask why the Steelers haven't finally got the deal done. It's like, guys, wait, you got to pick a lane. And I think the lane is the one that's, sorry, it's boring, but probably right in the middle. The Steelers don't want to pay him more than Garrett. TJ feels like he should be paid a little more than Garrett. And eventually it'll get done. And wouldn't shock the hell out of me at all if he gets like the exact same deal as Garrett.
Buck more.
Yeah. 50 cents more. Thanks to our good friends at Nail Studio, too. It is a busy time of year. You're getting ready to go to the beach. You're heading to the pool all the time. And your girlfriend, your wife, maybe your daughter, they're like, oh, I want my nails to look good for vacation. Whatever it is. Maybe you want to buy a gift certificate for somebody for a graduation gift. Nail Studio, too, out there in the South Hills. Lakeview Square on 19, right next to Juniper Grill in the McMurray Peters Township area. There to help you. You can book online at nailstudio2.com. Those are Roman numerals for the two, nailstudioii.com, or give them a call, 724-941-4595. Like I said, right out there on 19 in Lakeview Square next to Juniper Grill. So you can stop out there as well if you're in the South Hills, pick up a gift certificate for somebody as well. It's really busy. So check out all the times that are available online. Lily and Lynn are swamped, but great at what they do. They are looking for another nail tech or two. If you know somebody who's good at that kind of stuff, have them get a hold of Nail Studio 2 at Nail Studio McMurray on Instagram. And like I said, online, Nail Studio II. That's a Roman numeral 2. NailStudio2.com. We appreciate them supporting the show here at Cabali and Mac. All right. So here's another question that we haven't really talked about since the Ramsey trade. Is he really going to play safety? Do you trade for Jalen Ramsey to play him more at safety than you do at corner? And what kind of safety is that? I mean, what is the plan here?
No, I think the plan is, first of all, you're not paying $26 million for a safety who has never played there before, or very limited.
Right.
So you're pretty much sure that he's going to be inside, outside. It's all going to determine what they call scheme-wise. But those three guys are going to be on the field the most of the time. I would say Ramsey would be more in the slot than outside because I don't think Slay or Porter can play out there. But he's not going to be exclusively out there. I think what is important is that first of him being able to maybe in the crunch or in, you know, maybe a snap or two to play the safety position. And even in the long run, if you plan on keeping him, he's more than willing to move back there, which is – something I remember Joe Hayden telling me, I'm not doing that, man. If I can't play corner, I'm done. So half of it is him wanting to do that too. So he wants to be known as that all-around defensive back. You don't call him a cornerback, right?
Yeah, he compares himself to Charles Woodson, who kind of played all over the second.
He wants to play everywhere, and that is fine. But I think the safety is something that would become more of an – you know, a player two or an emergency. I don't think that's something they have really up in their plans of playing him.
I just don't like the idea of going out and look, I understand they're shorthanded at safety now, and whether Mike Tomlin really likes Juan Thornhill or not, they still probably got to go out and get another safety before the start of the regular season. But like, I don't understand going out and getting Ramsey, who I think is still one of the best one-on-one man cover corners in the game, and having him back off the ball and play safety. I mean, you go back to that little highlight reel we showed last week where he blanketed DK Metcalf all the time when the Rams and Seahawks would play. And it's like, no, that's a dude I want in Jamar Chase's face. That's a dude I want absolutely dogging the number one receiver of the opposition all over the field. I don't want that guy sitting 15 yards off the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I don't see that being the case whatsoever. I mean, maybe special packages, maybe dime, maybe something like that. But like I said, I don't think it's going to be a huge amount of plays there. I mean, just like the Jonnu Smith fullback. I mean, it's not like he's going to be like Dan Kreider, John Whitman, you know, those type of guys. I mean, that's not the case. But he'll be there or have the ability to be able to play there. By the way, did you see Ryan Clark hooking up Jalen Ramsey with Troy Polamalu in that video?
No, I did not.
No, it got him on like, I didn't even know he knew how to use FaceTime. But
Why is this perception that Troy is like some sort of monk who lives at the top of a mountain and doesn't understand or use technology?
First of all, I am questioning if Troy even knows who Jalen Ramsey is. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Football, some.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Troy doesn't. Troy tries to eliminate himself. But why didn't I talk to him recently? Maybe at training camp. Apparently, his boys play a lot of sports, but I don't know if they play much football.
Yeah, I could see him being a guy who lets his kids wait on football until, you know, they're in high school.
Well, yeah, I mean, they want my kid to play left tackle and put a sticker on his helmet at 8 years old. I'm like, he can do that at 12.
Can't touch the ball. They're going to give him the green dot.
Yeah, they're going to get the green dot saying you can't touch the ball or type of thing. We had that when I played, but it was just like, don't let the big guy touch the ball. So, I mean, yeah, you can wait for that. I don't see any need for that. But I remember those kids going nuts in the locker room.
Mad that they couldn't touch the ball?
No, they'd just lose a playoff game and they'd be like diving over like equipment bags and stuff, like going crazy. Just like how a little Polamalu you would think would be, you know. But with that, apparently the most recently I've seen them, they were very, I mean, surprise, surprise, polite and pleasant young men.
So, well, yeah, that's not a surprise at all. So what was the gist of the conversation between Troy and Ramsey and Ryan Clark?
I don't really know, but I just saw it's, you know, the scroll of death. Oh, Ryan Clark hooked up Troy Polamalu with Jalen Ramsey in a three-way. Wait,
whoa.
In a group chat. A group, I don't know, but I thought it was Zoom. I'm guessing it was FaceTime. Or as Pony told me the other day, hey, are you going to come on Skype? I'm like, Skype?
Skype? What is this? 2015? Come on.
Yeah, I'm still questioning whether or not he knows who he is.
Well, I'm looking this up now because you brought it. Troy gets a little more gray every day.
That's what I'm saying. Troy.
Hold on. This is some sort of aggregation that really has no details at all.
I take my shirt off and go pose with these guys.
In a FaceTime coordinated by Ryan Clark, Troy Polamalu and Jalen Ramsey got to meet and discuss the great organization they both will now have played for. That's it. That's all I got in this story.
Yeah, I think it was just a screenshot by Clark, if I recall. I don't know.
Whatever.
I thought if he posted the entire...
So what does the corner rotation actually look like then? Like, this is something that still hasn't been answered by anybody and maybe won't be until training camp starts or even, hell, maybe even the regular season.
They're going to tell you, well, we always use three guys anyways.
Which is true. I mean, what's the percentage of time they have three corners on the field? Like 80% of the time?
Maybe. Something tells me,
at least 70.
Something tells me if you bench Jalen Ramsey or bench him or take him off the field, he's not going to be very happy.
No, and everybody's going to wonder what the hell you traded for him for.
But on the flip side of that, maybe they're looking at a guy like Darius Slay and say, you're 34, man. We need to
preserve you.
We need to keep your snaps down a little bit here. So maybe you're the not the odd man out, but the guy that gets the least amount of snaps out of everybody.
I mean, that's a possibility.
I'm just trying to look up here. Jalen Ramsey snaps. I'm sure they're crazy amount of snaps like last year.
Okay, so let's just go to – hold on, I want to look at something right here now.
Oh, now we're all looking up stuff, not even paying attention.
No, we're paying attention.
Jalen Ramsey played 96.5% of the snaps last year.
Okay, so he's not coming off the field. We know that, right? Like, he's just not. Joey Porter last year played 89% of the snaps on defense. Dante Jackson, 71%. Obviously, he was hurt for a few weeks. Cam Sutton was 23%. James Pierre, 19%. Corey Trice, 18%. You add up those three guys, Sutton, Pierre, and Trice, and very quickly you get to like 59, 60% of the snaps. So, look, there's plenty of snaps to go around at corner for three different spots. And if Darius Slay only plays 65% of the snaps because it's Ramsey and Porter, okay, like you said, you're preserving a 34-year-old defensive back for late in the year, maybe, or just in general, keeping him from getting hurt or wearing down over the course of the season. It'll be interesting to me to see what happens. Look, they really like Joey Porter. It's not just because of this. I like Joey Porter as well. I'm pointing to my Penn State logo for those of you listening to the podcast. But like, if Joey Porter struggles significantly at any point or starts to take penalties like he did last year all over again, like, do they get to a point where it's Slay and Ramsey and Porter is the one that's starting?
I bet you that they'll be on the field at those two at the same time at some point. But I think the one thing we can assure of is Jalen Ramsey's not coming off the field. I mean, you see his snap counts over his career.
Yeah.
98, 96, 100, 99, 93, 98, 96, 99, 95, 97. That's his percentage of snaps played in the NFL since he came in the league at age 22. Now he's 30, whatever, 31.
I get it, but like
we're talking about every single snap, man. We're talking about 60 of the 62 snaps a game he's on the field.
Yes. And that's the way it should be. When they play Cincy, when they play Cincy, he should be on Chase. When they play Baltimore, I don't know who's Zay, I guess. He should be on Zay Flowers. When they're playing, I don't know, who's the number one? Do they even have wide receivers? Including Judy, I guess. He should be on Judy. When they play Buffalo, he should be on whoever the hell their number one is now, Keon Coleman, I guess. But, like, he should be on the number one guy every single week following them around. If the number one wide receiver doesn't come off the field, Ramsey doesn't come off the field.
So plus, when you get a guy like T. Higgins, you can throw Porter on him. Okay, let's see how good your memory is. Mm-hmm. Who's the third receiver for the Bengals?
Yoshi Voss.
Yoshi.
And I think I said it right, too.
Yeah, every single letter in his name does not sound like the how it comes out.
If you want to trip up someone from the Mon Valley, ask him to pronounce Andre Yoshivash's name sight unseen. Andre Iasivas, right?
You know, no, it's even worse than that. Was Tyson Alualu. It was Olualu and
Alualu.
Alualu. Alualu. I remember one first thing I asked Tyson at his introductory press conference was, Tyson, could you please just pronounce your name? It was like Alu Alu. And then Olu Olu.
Alu Alu.
Troy Palamalu.
But seriously, whoever they are playing week to week, Ramsey should be on Pittman when they play the Colts. So, you know, we can go down the whole list of everybody.
Where's that leave Beanie Bishop?
Dime. I mean, if you want to go four corners in dime, Beanie can come in. He can be a little versatile.
Mike Tomlin, this is good problems to have.
Yes. Four dogs, two bones, however you want to describe it. Absolutely. But he's not going to be the starting free safety, Ramsey. I think we can deduce that, right? Like,
no.
They might move them around the formation from time to time. Something happens to whoever the starting free safety is. And, okay, maybe he plays a snap in center field. But, like, I don't even know if that's necessarily a huge possibility, because you have to want him. You had to go out and get him because you see him blanketing the opposition's number one wide receiver.
But what if they stick with Thornhill? Thornhill either stinks like he did last year in Cleveland or gets hurt. Do you turn to Ramsey then?
I mean, I think
that might be it.
Maybe. I think you have to ask yourself how effective he's being against the opposition's number one corner or number one wide receivers, too. Like, if he's taking dudes out of games, for the most part, like, you're not going to completely take Jamar Chase out of a game. I keep using him as the example because he's the best wide receiver they'll play all year. But you, if you limit Chase to three catches for 40 yards, like, hey, I'm not in a rush to take that guy who's been covering that dude and put him out, like I said, 15 yards off the ball in center field. This is why they need to get themselves another safety by the time the regular season starts.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to find somebody. There's some guys out there, so I think that's a possibility. But you're talking about the best receivers, man. They're facing Garrett Wilson, Justin Jefferson as well, too, you know. Who else is a good one?
They're playing
anybody with the Bears. Bears got about two or three of them.
Amon-Ross St. Brown in Detroit. I mean, yeah, they're playing a lot of quality number one wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of receivers. I mean,
so why not go out and scoop up Justin Simmons before the start of training?
Justin Simmons is just waiting.
You know something?
No, I'm just saying. Why, if you're looking at that guy, don't you just wait? I mean,
how long?
No.
I mean, are you really going to get halfway through camp before you're like, oh, wait, it's Juan Thornhill. I forgot about that. I should go out and sign somebody.
Maybe. Maybe he thinks there's a better offer coming down the table. Maybe they did reach out to him and be like, I'll get back to you. I mean, we always look at it, they should go do this.
That's true.
Maybe they are doing anything.
I just made the same argument about the TJ negotiations. So I'm not going to sit here and argue against myself and say, well, you know, like pretend like guys don't have free will and can't decide when and how and where they sign. Like, I totally get it. But, like, you can't go into the regular season, I don't think, with Juan Thornhill as your starting free safety.
Oh, they'll talk him up nice.
Like you said, they've already started, right?
Yeah. I mean, Juan Thornhill is going to be the man until he's not the man, until they sign somebody else. He'll be we really needed this guy.
Right, exactly. Until we get to the preseason and he gets absolutely torched by Travis Hunter and Brian Johnson in Jacksonville. And we're like, wait, what are we doing here? Brian Thomas, sorry. What are we doing here? Like, come on. Guy can't be out there all by himself. Speaking of the other spot that I've said repeatedly, they can't go into the season without filling it. I know they went out and got Jonnu Smith. I know Arthur Smith will happily put 13 tight ends on the field at the same time. And I am kind of excited, maybe not excited is the word, but very curious to see how they do that with Freiermuth, Smith, and Washington, and even baby Hayward. But they still, I know you said they believe in Calvin Austin. It's speaking of talking people up, they did that during minicamp, right? You still have wide receivers out there. And according to our guy, Nick Faribault, they're still interested in Gabe Davis. So the injury thing is definitely a concern. But if they're sitting around the second week of training camp and decide that Calvin can't necessarily handle the entire load as a wide receiver too, would we be surprised to see them go out and get Gabe Davis?
If they were interested in Gabe Davis, why is he not signed yet?
You tell me. They brought him in. They talked to him. Obviously, I would think every team that's talked to Gabe Davis has concerns about the knee injury. He just had surgery in November. So maybe it's a sort of a break glass in case of emergency type deal. They get into training camp, into the preseason, and they're like, we like Calvin.
Do you want to give him $10 million?
Maybe that's why they're sitting around and waiting, so they don't have to give him $10
million. I would much rather invest my playing time in Calvin Austin than Gabe Davis right now. You got a hungry guy who's fast, quick, on the rise, and the other guy that's really had a couple good playoff games and has been hurt and has been not much since then. I don't know. I would much rather go with him. I mean, you're just totally dismissing Ben Skoranek. You see him dunking in Malibu, man?
Come on.
I've been telling you about Ben Skoranek. I've been telling you that for 3 months now. That you have to, those are guys you need on this team to win titles. Him,
I don't have a problem with Ben Skoranek as a guy, as a glue guy, right? A special teams guy. But like,
absolutely.
Those but Ben Skoranek's a wide receiver five. Like that's
plus you can't underestimate Zach Azzone's love of the dirty, grimy players. And there ain't nobody dirtier or grimier than Ben Skoranek.
So they're going to go into the regular season with Austin, Wilson, Woods, and Skoranek behind DK. Sorry, I didn't mention Scotty Miller. And what happens when DK tweaks a hammy or something? I'm not saying Gabe Davis would ride in like Superman and save the day, but I mean, maybe that's why Davis isn't the option. Maybe we should still be talking about like an Amari Cooper or something.
Well, they truly believe that Jonnu Smith can play slot-ish.
Okay, that's great, and I'm not arguing that fact, but like again, you have to do what you can to try and protect against what might happen. Look what this offense looked like when Pickens was out last year, right?
Yeah,
that's exactly what will happen to this offense again this year. I don't care what kind of upgrades they made, how much better the quarterback may be. That's exactly what will happen to this offense again this year if DK Metcalf misses any kind of time.
I mean, to me, I would take my chances with what they have now over what they have out there. I mean, Gabe Davis, Aguilar, Chark, Boyd, Jamison Crowder. There's not a ton out there that is going to be difference makers. And if you get people cut at the end of training camp, they're going to be cut for a reason because they're not very good. So maybe you're holding out for Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, and that might be a different story. But that's the only two I would probably entertain at this point. If not, I would just let it ride like it is. Hope Calvin Austin continues to play well. Hopefully Roman Wilson takes that stuff up. Hopefully Robert Woods does what he needs to. But I understand what you're talking about. I understand that you don't want to go in there by chance and say, okay, we hope this happens. You'd much rather have somebody there who you know can perform.
Right.
Not everybody's going to have T. Higgins as a two.
Nobody's saying
or
they should
Jordan Addison as a two. Or
Higgins, Jordan Addison level number
Debo
two.
Debo Samuel as a two.
Nobody, by the way, have we heard anything about Terry McLaurin in a while?
I find it hard to believe. But one thing you should have learned, never say never.
That's true. Just when we completely dismiss things like Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey, yeah. Bang, you wake up on a Monday morning and there's a big trade.
Washington would be just so, McLaurin put up huge numbers with garbage quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are in the NFC Championship game last year. Jaden Daniels going to take that step forward. Everything's working out well in Washington. Now you're going to dump your top receiver because you don't want to pay him?
No, they'll pay him. They'll end up paying him by the time the regular season comes around. Probably halfway through training camp when preseason games start.
Who was the former owner? Bob Schneider. Bob Schneider. What did I say? Bob Schneider. I'm thinking Daniel Bob Schneider. Nutting.
You Daniel just combine them into one person. You just combine Bob Nutting and Daniel
Schneider.
They're
about Schneider the same person. Bob Schneider and Daniel, whatever his name is, Daniel Schneider, same person, right?
Oh my God. All right. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC. You don't have to sweat your ass off this summer. Get your AC fixed if it's not working. Get it tuned up if it's not working well enough. Give them a call. 412-297-1852. Check them out on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH. It's the dead of summer. You don't want to be stuck without the AC working. So give Impact HVAC a call if you got any issues at all or just want to get it looked at because you think something might be running not quite right 100%. 412-297-1852. We appreciate their support of Kabali and Mac. So here's the deal. We have got this $100 gift certificate from our friends at Yoli's. See that right there?
Wait, I don't see it.
I got it up on the screen, dude.
Oh, you know, you could probably just make that out to me.
No, it's from us to a winner. What we need to do.
Here's the rule. Whoever wins it has to take us with them.
No, that's not the rule. Jesus. People win things. We don't do that to them. We just let them win. All right. How many followers do we have on Instagram right now? You want to take a guess?
I might not even be following us on Instagram.
Good job by you. Good job.
Let me see. Maybe I am. I'm not much of an IG guy. I still haven't really figured it out, honestly.
It's video. It's this new wave called video. We have 144 followers on Instagram. Come on.
That doesn't sound good.
It doesn't. So we got to get that number up. We're going to make it real simple. If you're one of the first 500 followers of the Kabali and Mac account on Instagram, you'll be in a drawing. So obviously, you want to live in the Pittsburgh area. I know most of our winners so far have come from other states, but this $100 Yoli's gift certificate will be yours if you are one of the first 500 followers on Instagram and you win the random drawing we have once we get to 500 followers. Look, you want to be up all the best stuff. I mean, come on.
The Yoli rolls. Woo.
Oh, the food is so good.
It's good. Pappy Nola.
But all the best content from the show gets posted on Instagram. I mean, you got Kabali talking about being a creep in the locker room. How you think Pat McAfee saw that and knew to put it on his show? It's because it was on the Kabali and Mac Instagram.
Creep. So, I say creeping around just looking.
I know.
Once again, people take
You're
stuff
so out sensitive.
Of people take stuff out of context.
Busting your balls. So you want that $100 Yoli's gift certificate. We'll post this on Instagram today as well. You got to be one of the first 500 followers to the Kabali and Mac account on Instagram. You'll be in the running for that $100 Yoli's gift certificate, which would be a fantastic meal for you and some friends or you and the family. We're going to be off the rest of the week, Kaboom, right? You got things going on.
I'm heading out of town for a couple of days. A couple of days.
Going to have some fun with the family.
I don't know about that, but I'll probably get on my nerves after about the first hour into the drive. I'd be like, just stop.
That's great. Father of the year, Mark Kabali.
Already. You ever see that baseball guy that, what's that guy? The guy that does those videos acting like an Italian. What's his name?
Nicky Cass.
Right? So he comes out. He came out and he had a.
You got to go like this. Move your feet. Yeah.
Well, yeah. He had something of what fathers say to their kids or something when they're. And I made my son look at it. He goes, "Wow, Dad, you say all that stuff to me."
What are you doing? You got to move your feet. What are you doing? No, his stuff's fantastic.
Close down.
Got a big pillow under his shirt. So, Nikki's stuff is great. Great reference by you. So you'll be out of town for a few days. About the time you get back into town, I'll be leaving town for the final softball tournament of the year for my daughter. And so we'll do this again next Monday. How's that sound?
Where are you staying in Columbus? Right next to the arena?
Right next to the airport.
I don't even know that. I've been driving through Columbus for 10, 15 years now, on the way to Indy a couple times a year. And it's just, you thought Pittsburgh had terrible construction.
I stand by the fact that drivers in Ohio are the worst drivers I've ever been around.
Oh, but the construction's bad. By the way, don't get gas until you get about, 50 miles into Ouch.
Oh, they like the gas right over the border.
No, they jack it up over the border because they know that we come over there and buy it. So go about half hour in, then you'll find gas for probably 270 or something.
Nice. All right.
Well, if you wait too long on the way back,
you get screwed.
then I think I forget what the last one is this cheap.
It's know. Okay. I'll figure it out.
Oh, that's big.
I know. Don't worry. I'll figure it out.
It's very important to get the last cheap gas in Ohio before you get across the border.
I'll look it up. I'm sure there's an app for it, and I'll figure it out. You have fun with the family. You can get on any roller coasters or anything while you're out of town?
Absolutely not.
Not a roller coaster guy.
I'm like, I'll sit on a bench or something.
Just watch everybody else have fun.
Fun. I'd just be looking, man, that costs how much? That costs how much?
Such an old man.
You want three stuffed animals for $50? Not even stuffed animals.
You're going to go to a Bucky's the first time one opens within a four-hour drive and buy some giant stuffed beaver.
No, I'm going to buy some brisket.
Okay. Enjoy the trip with the fam. I'll enjoy the final softball tournament of the summer. We'll reconvene in a week on Monday, July 14th, which at that point will be less than 10 days away from the start of training camp. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like, why does July 14th sound like an important day?
What is it? You tell me.
You know what that might be? That might be the old Wild Things Cam Hayward softball event.
Oh, maybe. That looks like it's going to be fun. Saw a big Wild Things article in the Post Gazette yesterday.
Are they winning?
Yeah. Yeah, they're winning. Which is, well, anyway, I'll leave it at that. We'll talk to you next Monday, all you beautiful Yinzers. We appreciate
you. You know what it is.
What?
Ended up, baby. 9 days until they report after that.
I know. So we get you want to be one of those first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube to win the autographed Paul Skeens ball. You want to be one of the first 500 followers on Instagram to win that $100 Yoli's gift certificate if you live in the area. It's all up for grabs just by doing what you're already doing, watching and hanging out with us.
Sponsor too, man. This is going to jump off.
What's that?
You can be a sponsor right heading into football season.
In perfect timing, right? Get it done before the start of the regular season. We got some interesting people who might be interested. I'll put it that way.
Well, the one is a guarantee because, you know, his word is good as gold.
Yeah. We might even lead us to doing some live shows, you think, during the season.
Pay me in some food.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Cabali and Mac. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you in soon. Thanks again to the Dan Heck team, HAECK Heck team.